really need to have more education, and that's why I applaud what you're doing, because people just don't know what's really going on.
Yeah, I think that you and I were talking a little bit before the show. There's just so many people that they're following a blueprint or a map that somebody created that they don't even know or understand why they're following it, right? Like, basically somebody said, okay, get out of high school, you go to college, you get out of college, you go get a job, you have a job, you do these things or whatever, and like, this is what success looks like, and we sort of created this as like the gold standard. But the truth is that a lot of times, not only does that not fit you or your personality, there's a lot of flaws in that system, because if you don't understand it super intrinsically of like how it works, what's happening in the back end, and understand the risk involved in like some of the decisions that you're making, right? Because there's risk in everything, good and bad risk in literally every decision you are making. There is risk, but if you don't understand the risk, if you don't understand how the back end piece is going to play out, then you're basically making decisions that will ultimately lead to your peril. You don't understand the law at a high level. If you don't have that kind of education and information, which most people don't, then you are gonna basically be going up against experts and large teams and groups of people. And so it can definitely be a challenge. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today we've got Mr. Barry on. He is a pretty unique guy. He's done all kinds of things in financial services. He's written like 4 or 5 best-selling books. He has a wealth of information. And so we are super excited to have him on the show today. Welcome, Barry. Tell the show, you know, tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for having me as your guest, Jack. I always love to talk to people in Texas. I mean, I'm up in the Northeast here in New Hampshire. And I think the farther I get away from the Northeast, the more people like me. So I have a big fan base in Texas. You know, it's funny, but that's just the way it works. But I've been in the financial service business for 40 years. Yeah, and I am a best-selling author. Four books, and actually my fifth will be coming out this year. The first book was called The Pirates of Manhattan, in which I explain why banks run stable and why mutual funds don't work. And that came out in 2007, prior to the first financial crisis. And then everything exploded, and so I look like Notre Dame, and I'm not that smart. I'm just a good researcher. So that kind of took off. That's where it took off. Barry James Dyke, by the way, .com. You can find more about me. So that's how it started. And then I wrote the, I explained really, and you and I were talking prior to the recording here, is we're about educating people, because when you really understand Wall Street and the asset management industrial complex, the odds are really stacked against the regular old person. You follow me? The guy in the street, he doesn't have a chance. So people are blindly being pushed into mutual funds, ETFs, that type of thing. And they really don't know what they're doing, okay? And the thing is that I tell people, purpose of a retirement income plan is to produce retirement income.
For sure.
Speculative instruments do not produce income. It's like asking a fish to climb a tree. It's not going to happen. But, I tell people, look at this is the way it is. If you're really wealthy in this country, you're going to be fine, because you're always gonna have money, okay? Or if you're a public employee, you work for state or local government, or a teacher or a firefighter, something like that, you're gonna have a true pension, defined benefit pension plan. But that's only about 7% of the population. So the rest of the people, you're really kind of on your own. So you really need to have more education. And that's why I applaud what you're doing, because people just don't know what's really going on. And what is happening is Wall Street and the asset manager making all the money. So that's why I'm glad I'm on the show here.
For sure. Yeah, I think that you and I were talking a little bit before the show. There's just so many people that they're following a blueprint or a map that somebody created that they don't even know or understand why they're following it, right? Like, basically somebody said, okay, well, you know, you get out of high school, you go to college, you get out of college, you go get a job, you have a job, you do these things or whatever. And like, this is what success looks like. And we sort of created this as like the gold standard. But the truth is that a lot of times, not only does that not fit you or your personality, there's a lot of flaws in that system, because if you don't understand it super intrinsically of like how it works, what's happening on the back end, and understand the risk involved in like some of the decisions that you're making, right? Because there's risk in everything, good and bad risk in literally every decision you are making. there is risk. But if you don't understand the risk, if you don't understand how the back end piece is going to play out, then you're basically making decisions that will ultimately lead to your peril. Possibly you luck out, right? And the decisions you make end up all positive. But statistically speaking, that math does not track. It will not end in a good place.
Yeah. And then the rules of the road, if you will, you have to understand the rules of the road is that it's rigged against you. Okay? So people, any brokerage statement or 401k for that matter, okay, is subject to what is called arbitration. So if you lose money in an investment with the brokerage firm, essentially you agree to sign arbitration, which you can't even go have a court of loss. When you understand the mechanics of it, it's really, it behooves you really to have best, really good risk management, because it's so hard to make money. And so you got to learn how to retain it, you know, and,
for sure.
You know, particularly, you know, and so people are really not, you know, and people are getting essentially a lot of dream sheets being sold to them. And the thing is, we don't know what the future will bring. We don't know. I know what I'm having for dinner tonight. Never mind what's going to happen a week or 2 weeks from now. And so all this stuff is projecting. A lot of it is just hooey without a contractual guarantee. As a result, so people really need to understand what's behind the curtain.
For sure. Well, and first of all, before we go any further, I want to clarify for some people who may or may not know what arbitration is. When he refers to arbitration, so contractually, almost every major contract that you're going to sign, whether it be employment or otherwise, is going to have something called an arbitration clause. Arbitration clause means that as opposed to you being able to sue that party in a court of law, where you are allowed to have either a judge or a jury who is making the determination for you, you basically go to a specialized form of mediation. So the parties have to go before somebody called an arbiter. An arbiter is typically either could be a judge, could be somebody who's a lawyer or somebody like this, and they're going to be the arbiter. They're basically going to hear the different sides, and they're going to be basing it off of the pure rule of law. So like whatever the law says, kind of bright line, is like what they are as a general rule going to be going by. And a lot of people don't realize that there is some narrowing of your ability to really get a fair shake, because if you don't understand the law at a high level, if you don't have that kind of education and information, which most people don't, then you are going to basically be going up against experts and large teams and groups of people, right? And so it can definitely be a challenge. I only learned a lot more in depth about what that is and what that looked like when I was in law school, and understanding like kind of how the depth of what that goes down.
Yeah, so that's a big problem though, is, Jack, as you know. So you know the odds are, and I actually, it's in my next book, which I bring the up-to-date research on. I think only about maybe a third of the time people win an arbitration. And then there's another thing, not just winning, getting a judgment, then it's another thing to get collection. So in other Correct. Words, it's one thing to win an agreement, and then it's another thing to really get to get money out of the thing. And most of these, very, very few of them are really full. They're usually partial settlements, if you will. So say someone lost $100,000, maybe they'll get back 30 or something like that, if that. So I think more educated people can be about these things, i.e. like arbitration, but everyone knows this. And what has happened now too is, even with retirement plans, I'm talking about them because this affects everybody. You have what is called a collective investment trust. I don't know if you're familiar with those, Jacks, at all.
I'm not.
Well, you need to be. Okay. So collective investment trust, essentially when a person has a mutual fund in a 401k, there's subject to SEC regulations, right? So everything has to be listed, or you can see the numbers online and get quoted and so forth. But more than 50% of the more than 6 trillion of assets now in 401ks are in collective investment trusts. What is called a CIT. Now, that means when it's a collective investment trust, they don't have to comply with, they're not under jurisdiction of the SEC. And then it's either going to be coming under the state's banking commission or the state's insurance regulators, okay? So a lot of this stuff is, even if it's a collective investment trust, it's even more complicated for the person. So the reason why I bring this up is that, so preservation of capital and saving what you really have is even more important, because what they're using now with collective investment trusts now, They're starting to stuff these are esoteric alternative investments, i.e. cryptocurrencies, private credit, private debt, private equity, hedge funds, and that type of thing, into retirement plans, which to mom and pop. Now, the irony of the whole thing is that, and this is actually a very appropriate topic, if you will, there's a little company called Intel. You ever heard of them? The little semiconductor company out in the largest semiconductor company in the United States. And this is the one where Donald Trump said he's going to be, essentially, you and I, the taxpayer, we own like 10% of the company now. Now, Intel's been going down on the shooters. You know, it's really losing market share. And I bring this up because you and I, the taxpayer, now are owning. But this is a classic case going back to around 2008, 2009, where Intel changed their 401k from a mutual fund-based system to a collective investment trust, and they started inserting hedge funds, private equity, and so forth. And then you would probably know, but then they sued, plaintiffs sued in court, saying that, you know, this shouldn't be for regular old people, these should be accredited investors. And unfortunately, the plaintiffs who sued, they lost. And so so what happens is, so some of this stuff is crazy. So because the judge, and I'm not a lawyer on this, but they said it was fully disclosed in the summary plan description about these investments. So
I'm sure it was buried in the paperwork.
And this is where all this stuff is going. And everyone, if you look at any business pop paper, Jacks, or anything, you go on Bloomberg or Financial Times or the Journal or anything like that, they all want to put alternative investments into retirement plans for regular people. And these are very illiquid, they're very complicated. And that's why I'm writing these books, you know, to help educate people, because it's just, with a legal background, you know, going up a big institution, fine institution, they have armies of lawyers, you know?
Oh, yes. I was going to say, it is the one that's really one really unfortunate thing is that so many people, we're living in a very litigious society where the lawyers draft up mountains of contracts and things that you're signing all the times. I mean, think about all the terms and conditions that you just click the box and you don't ever read. And honestly, a lot of it is not necessarily due to not wanting to understand, but lack of time, right? And so we trade our ability and we're like, what can happen? Like, it'll be fine, whatever, until something goes wrong. And then when something goes wrong, we're trying to look at it. And I mean, for me, this is where all of this comes back to that one, you need to be educating yourself and living intentionally. I mean, you're not going to make every decision perfectly. You're not going to pick every risk perfectly. Like, that is not going to happen. But at least if you're living in alignment with what you feel like is your truth path and how that is going to play out for you, right? And we're sort of creating our own blueprint, if you will, that is uniquely yours, that uniquely fits your situation, then we're walking down a path that can help be in a better position. Because yes, I mean, maybe you do invest in some things that don't end up going your way or whatever, but for whatever reason, the psychological emotional hit is a lot less. It still doesn't feel nice regardless. Anytime you stumble, fall, you know, fail, if you will, none of that really feels super nice. But a lot of times people are banking on the blueprint working out, on the fact of, oh, I'm just going to invest in my 401k in this retirement plan. And because I'm invested in this retirement plan, I'm in a good spot, right? Like, this is what's gonna help. And like, to Barry's point, I didn't understand that there's all of these additional things that are basically not being regulated by the SEC that are being packed into sort of some of these retirement plans and creating some challenges on the back end. And it's interesting because I had a conversation not horribly long ago with a gentleman about 401k plans and how the initial thought process of the 401k was they were stripping off the pension, which was the traditional option, right? That was like, hey, you know, we're your employer, you're going to work for us for many, many years. And then when you get ready to be done, we're going to then pay you back, right? We're going to make sure that you have some type of income coming in to support you and your family. And then they change it to 401k for the illusion of more control, that you have more ability to now invest it in whatever you want. You're not trusting that you know, the big corporation or whatever you worked for, that they were going to invest it in the right things and be able to provide for you. So on its face, it sounds like a great plan. It sounds
good.
That would be wonderful. The challenge is that, first of all, I can't tell you how many people put money into their 401k, right? Like they check the box at the HR day one that says, you know, yes, I want X percent removed from my paycheck into my 401k. And they're not investing it at all, which is like the worst thing you can do because now it's not growing at all. Like you literally there's nothing that's happening there. Or two, they aren't really doing any investigation on like what they maybe should be investing in, because there are some aspects of 401ks that are super positive, like the match, right? So your employer is matching, then at a bare minimum, we should be considering looking at that, because that is money that they're providing you, right? That you can then use. However, it's not the only thing you should be considering or putting all your eggs in that basket, because that is the challenge, is that it doesn't always work out like you were discussing. There are some things happening behind the scenes that I think people are thinking that is the place, that is the basket, that's where all the eggs should go, and that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, which I really stress back to the people I deal with, even with my friends, it's the discipline. You know, it's just like, if you want to get in shape, you got to go to the gym, and if you want to eat healthy, you got to eat, you know, you got to eat good food and things like that. So it's so much of it comes down to the discipline. Okay, and the thing is that so I'm not against the 401k per se. Actually, I was in a documentary movie called The Baby Boomer Dilemma, by the way. You go to boomermovie.com. Make a long story, a friend of mine is a guy by the name of Ted Bennett. He's the guy who actually created the 401k. And he's kind of very dismayed of, you know, what he created turned into a monster. And, you know, and he helped make Vanguard and Fidelity and State Street and all those other companies a lot of money. They haven't really paid him anything. But the thing is that with a 401k, it's kind of like playing pinball with your hands tied behind your back. You know? And I also tell people that, you know, if you want, you know, a new toaster from Walmart has more guarantees than a 401k. So the whole thing, this is all true, okay? And if you read the fine print, and I have, and someone like you with a law background, so and I'm not against it, but the whole thing is that we just don't know. In 22, and actually this research will be coming out in the next book, in 2022, Americans lost about close to $4 trillion in the market.
Wow.
And I use government statistics, number using the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the amount of money putting into state and local pension funds and things like that, roughly about $3.96 trillion. And so, but Wall Street, the asset managers and so forth, they make a lot of money, you know, and so I think people, you know, need to know this, because they just, it's kind of blind faith, and we have to have faith in everything. I mean, I'm a Christian, I believe more now than ever, but I think, you know, we really, you know, we have to see who's really making all the money here.
For sure.
You know.
For sure. Yeah. I think that is very true. I think that America is amazing. I think, you know, a capitalist economy is amazing. However, I think that too many people have outsourced their power. So we were given a beautiful brain and the ability to know our own mind and to understand. And you literally need to look no further than a toddler to know this is true. Because my toddler all the time, she knows her own mind. She knows exactly what she wants to eat and what she doesn't want to eat, you know, whether she wants to go to bed or not or whatever, right? Like she knows these things, and we were always inherently built with that ability, right? Not necessarily that's the best thing for us, but we do inherently know the things that we want and the things that we desire. And somewhere along the way, we buy into the myth or the illusion that if you just follow somebody else's path and somebody else's plan, that it's going to work out for you. And the unfortunate part is that I'm a realist. You know, you have to look to the money and where's the money tracking, where's the money going, right? Not to say that people shouldn't make money for some of the things that they do, right? But like my industry is a perfect example, right? So mortgage and real estate has kind of had a reckoning for the last few years, where our margins have kind of come into to play, where we've had to sort of skinny down or whatever. We've had to do some shifting. People have called into question the validity and you know, are you worth, in the real estate side, the 3% that you're getting paid for what you're doing? And the truth is that the answer is sometimes, right? There are certain professionals and certain experts that are absolutely worth the money. And there are certain people that, no, they're not. It's why in my book, Mortgage 101, The Secret Sauce of Home Buying, I actually talk about picking an expert, understanding like who it is. I actually will argue until I am blue in the face more than anything in any financial decision, whether it be how you're investing your money, whether it be how you're handling your taxes, whether it be who you're picking to deal with your mortgage or your real estate transaction. Any of these things, especially the big ticket monetary items, you are going to lose if you are not picking a true expert, somebody who understands their craft, who has more of an appreciation for looking out for your best interest versus their own, or at least they're balanced, right? At a bare minimum, because I just can't tell you how many times when you really look to it and you really start peeling back the layers, you start realizing that those people are not in your corner at all.
No, you know, Jax, I couldn't agree with you more. It actually comes to mind. I actually had a dinner last week of a friend of mine. He was a consummate American entrepreneur. I mean, a guy who actually has a company, which I'm not going to bring the names in, but actually makes stuff. Okay. They actually make stuff in the United States, and they employ roughly about 4,000 or 5,000 people in this country, you know, so they create a lot of good jobs, good manufacturing jobs. There's not a lot of guys like him anymore. But anyhow, this guy is just a consummate entrepreneur. He took over from a family business and he built it up. And it's about $8-9 billion market cap company. And I'm very blessed to know him. But, you know, and he's a really loving, caring guy. And he's in his 80s, but he's brilliant. You know, when I was telling about the research I was doing about retirement, why America is such a bad place. And, you know, I started digging around. I started pulling out the public documents, as you know, you can. So I started pulling up 5,500s and saw where the money for his 401k, okay, was in that. And I was like, holy crap, okay. I found out, like, this good-sized company had essentially an annuity contract, which is really, it's kind of a piece of crap, okay? But he had no idea. So what I'm saying is that, yeah, you do, but you have to be kind of a nerd like you or me to understand this stuff, because the institutions want to hide this.
For sure.
You know, so yeah, so I think, you know, looking for someone like you for a mortgage or, you know, someone that anyone called me up, you know, I picked up the phone and people amazed. I've sold my books in 23 countries and people call me with a question, I'll call them, I'll pick up the phone, I'll answer. I'm happy to help.
For sure. Well, and true experts, they do want to help, right? I mean, the reason that I started a podcast, the reason that I wrote a book, the reason I did these things wasn't to make me loads of money, right? Like that wasn't the aim. The aim wasn't like, okay, if I start a podcast, I'm going to make, you know, gobs of money. If I write a book, like I'm going to make, you know, millions and millions of dollars off the book. Like that wasn't the aim. Everything that I've ever built has come out of a need that I've seen people struggling, that I've seen people need help, that they need information and they need it in a way that is simple. So my mortgage company is called PBJ Mortgage. We make mortgage simple, as simple as making a peanut butter jelly sandwich. That's the premise.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy to understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, HouseU provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. HouseU, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with HouseU. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
And the idea behind it is that you don't have to know every single aspect of mortgage. You need to know enough to be dangerous. You need to be okay with being transparent with us, right? Being able to lay down, you know, your information and not being scared of judgment, because there's so many people that are afraid of that. I think that's where a lot of like our bad money decisions stem from, is shame and judgment and feeling like people are going to feel like we're less than if we don't understand it. And then allowing us to ask you good questions, disseminating information, really pulling back the curtain and trying to understand what are your actual aims, right? Like how do we show and point you in the right direction with what your actual aims are? And I think I can speak to shame for a minute. I think that that's a lot of where it comes from too, is people are investing in things like 401ks or whatever, because it's also the easy button, right? Somebody laid out that blueprint or whatever, their shame and the not knowing, like, oh, well, you know, I'm not like you, Barry. I haven't worked in finances for 40 years. I'm not like you, Jax. Like, my mom didn't make me read Sound Mind Investing in seventh grade. So like, you had all that good information in your head. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the resources don't exist for you to be able to find it out, or that you can't vet out and take a little bit of your time and step back and find that expert that is in alignment with what you're looking for, right? That is showing up authentically, that understands. Because a lot of times we are making mistakes not because we don't have knowledge. Yes, lack of knowledge is definitely a huge problem. And I highly encourage you to step into your power and learn that knowledge, right? Seek out the experts, understand, listen to the podcast, read the books, whatever that is, to make you feel comfortable. But a bigger factor also is sitting in shame, allowing ourselves to basically be walking down a path that doesn't belong to us, taking risk that we didn't necessarily want to take on, or didn't understand the risk we were taking on, because we're afraid to raise our hand and say, but Barry, I don't know. Like, how does that work? Like, what do I need to know? Like, Jax, how do I understand like the mortgage piece? Like, what does that look like for me? Like, because most of us, like you said, we're going to answer our phone. We're going to help, right? Like that, if that's our heart, we're going to help.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, I've been in this business long enough, Jax, where, you know, I've seen some of these crazy, this isn't my first rodeo, if you will. And like this whole push with alternative investments. I remember in the 80s, there were these limited partnerships where, you're in Texas, a limited partnership in the oil and gas have always been big, you know, and they still are today. But there was a huge push in the 80s. And actually, at the time, I was just starting doing pension plans, whatever. And I sold a lot of this stuff, you know, and the whole story and this is a true story. In the beginning, they say the general partner, who's the general partner, he has all the expertise and the knowledge about how to make investments in real estate or oil or gas. But he doesn't have any money. So he goes to the limited partners who have all the money, but they don't have any of the expertise. So in the beginning, the general partner he has all the expertise, and the limited partners give him all the money. You know, 10, 15 years later, some of these people couldn't get out. And so in the end, what happened is that in the end, the general partner ended up with all the money and the limited partners ended up with the experience. And you know, so when they started talking about the private equity and private credit and stuff like that, and 401ks, and I was like, oh my God, I've seen this before. You know, these things are about as liquid as a frozen tundra in the middle of the winter. You know, it's just, so I think, to educate people is really, really smart. And I think what I'm also passionate about is that I was telling you that, you know, we're the number one economy in the world. And we know this. The U.S. is number one. China's number two. Germany's number three. Japan's number four. I mean, that's if you look in terms of retired preparedness in the top 30, we're number 29. I mean, Mexico has a better retirement system than than the U.S. Which I was like, I can't believe this, but no. And it's actually, there's an actuarial firm out of Australia called Mercer that does it every year. They've been doing it for 16 years. This is, you know, submit. So, yeah, so we went from number 22 in 2023, in 2022, to number 29 in 2024. So it's just, so we have all these bad habits. So I'm trying to help people, you know, save first and that type of thing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think, you know, the average American, I can't remember exactly what it is, but we save like negative, I can't remember. It's a negative number. It's like negative 6% or 8% or something like that per year.
Yeah. Yeah. The, actually, and I'll say in some of my books, by the way, this has been great, but, during the COVID and financial crisis, our savings rates were like a negative 3-4%. So we weren't saving anything. And so a lot of people had built up their savings during COVID. So now, this is really, it's horrible when you look at it, but it's, the highest savings is countries like the Norway, the Scandinavian. They send about 20% of their income each year and savings. I think in the U.S. now we're down like 1.5%.
You know, well, at least we're in the positive because we were not for a very, very long time. And honestly, I will tell you, we see it on our side. I think it may be the other reason I'm super passionate about homeownership is it's not exactly a savings plan, but it does allow people to kind of lock up money a little bit that they can't like readily access, because the negative about being in America is that we are a consumer nation. And so it's that constant, you know, buy, 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 buy. And you do have to learn to be diligent to figure out, first of all, how important is keeping up with the Joneses really, right? And like, we can't buy into all the myths. Like, you know, I was joking, I was at a networking event this morning and we were talking about how cars, you now can finance some of the more expensive ones up to like dang near 10 years. And we're talking about a depreciating asset and something that like, what you're financing over like that huge amount of time, and how also you go in to like get your car, you know, taken care of, right? You get your oil change, whatever. And they're like, oh, hey, did you know that we could keep your payment the same and you can have this brand new car? And it's like, but the thing that they don't tell you or you haven't thought about is you have 1 year left on this car over here until it's paid off free and clear. And this car over here, you're going to have 6 or 7 more years to pay on it. So now like it's a totally different financial thing, but in your brain, it's like, well, I'm already making the monthly payment. So, you know, I could just keep making the monthly payment. And we don't take the diligence to step back and start asking ourselves hard questions, because again, there's no shame in any decision you want to make. But there is shame in making a decision because somebody else pushed you across the threshold or told you this is a decision you should make, whether that be from a point of pressure of you should keep up with the Joneses or a point of pressure of, you know, well, I know better, so you should do what I say kind of attitude.
No, I agree with you so much. And one of the things, I don't know, you're in the state of Texas now. Do you have like, what do you call it? The, you know, the where you can take a loan against your car, title loan. Do they have title loans?
We do. We have title loans. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure do.
All right. You know the interest rate they charge on those things, Jax?
Oh, it's crazy.
It's like 200-300%.
Yeah, it's
okay.
What I always tell people about that, about those kind of loans, as well as either payday advance loans, or even credit cards to a certain respect. It's basically legalized loan sharking is in essence what it is. It's like they found a way to legalize loan sharking is really what's happening.
Yeah, and it's predatory. I know. So if you study all the great religions, you said Christianity, Judaism, Catholicism, Islam, you can't, Judaism, you're not supposed to lend money at interest. But now we've actually, because of, you know, the arbitration agreements or whatever, I don't know what you call them, in credit cards now, you know, there is no amount of interest. There is no maximum interest now you can charge on a loan, Jax.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are some laws that they're trying to create and craft surrounding that right now, I believe, in Washington, D.C., and I hope that they pass. I mean, and this is the other thing, though, that's really interesting when it comes to financial space. What people also have to understand when it comes, because I have a lot of people come to me, well, the federal government should just make more rules and restrictions and this and that and whatever, but then you have to remember the more rules and restrictions and things that they do, the more it limits your freedom of choice and your ability to be able to say, hey, I am knowingly making a bad decision, right? Like I'm making a decision. It may not be the best financial decision, but I'm making it and I'm making it from a knowing place, right? Versus what people are really looking to is, again, outsourcing their power. And I'm going to tell you that regardless of what you believe, nobody, I don't care if you're on the Republican side, the Democrat side, somewhere in the middle, or some other group, it doesn't matter. None of those people are for you when it comes to the laws that they're crafting and creating. None of them are for you. And so the more power you provide them, the worse it will be for you. You are way better to take the power on yourself, to take the information on yourself, to have to learn yourself. I understand it may take you a little more time. I understand it may be inconvenient, but that inconvenience is worth it in scathes. And if we're not very, very careful, what's going to happen is that Americans are going to be put into a box they're not going to like. Like, I will give you a very perfect example of what I mean by this. So I've had this conversation, I don't know how many people. So my husband is 100% disabled veteran. And so through that, he has actually provided VA healthcare free of charge and partakes in VA healthcare. He is actually full German, and we have tons of family that live in Germany. And so we've actually seen their healthcare system in play based on personal family experience. So not like in a bubble, like, you know, we just see it from afar. Like we mean like we have dealt with personal people in our lives that we have dealt with this healthcare system. And we hear people say all the time, oh man, I want the federal government to pay for our healthcare, right? I want them to take this over. And I'm like, do you understand how much freedom you will give away with that? No, you know, they're gonna cover whatever, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I always say the same thing. Number one, why don't you go find your local VA hospital and go spend a day there and see how efficient they are? Cause they're not. Like, it literally reminds me of a bus terminal full of people that are all just sort of like waiting there. And as Americans, as a general rule, we value our time. And so most people are not going to be super pleased with sitting in a hospital all day waiting until they finally decide that it's merited to be seen. They also have months and months and months wait. Like it can be 3 to 6 months before my husband will be able to be seen by certain kinds of specialists when he wants to see somebody. So that's one thing. Number two, as a general rule and as Americans, we like to make the decision of whether we want the services or not. And I'm going to give you an example. One of my very best friends growing up was Dutch. And her grandma was in her 70s and they found out that she had cancer. And the Dutch government said, that's great. So sorry, you have cancer. We're not going to treat it. We have a socialized healthcare system. We are the ones we'd be paying for it. We don't feel like your life expectancy should be much past where you're at already. Therefore, we are going to choose to not pay for it.
Yikes.
And that was the decision. So oftentimes people are like, you know, oh, it sounds so great. Yes, on its face. But again, you have to dig deeper. You have to ask deeper questions because I don't know a single American who, if they chose to want to treat their cancer, right, whether they're 2 or 82, would not have that choice and that right, right? We would have that ability. But when you outsource your power and you let somebody else take over it and say, okay, now I'm in charge of it, now you get to play by their rules. And their rules may or may not be something that you are comfortable with. And so this is why I'm so passionate about education, about living with intention, about stepping into your own power, because if you start giving it away, you have no reason to complain about the outcome of that scenario.
Yeah, it becomes almost like an animal farm or something that you're giving up all your power, Jackson. You know, I think more than ever, what I've learned, and it's a major point in my next book, is really you have to be more self-reliant. Because,
for sure.
You know, it doesn't, you know, I tell people, I'm a political atheist at this point. It doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. They're going to vote for the money interest. It doesn't make a difference. It was George Wallace said 50 years ago in Alabama, there's not a dime's worth of difference between a Republican and a Democrat. It's all about the Benjamins. And
it's always been about the money. Always.
And so I think, you know, so the more people are more self-reliant and the, you're in like in a state of Texas. I sell a lot of my books there because I write about life insurance and how annuities are protected. Now, Texas is a great state for asset protection, which
it is.
There's
we have
a lot of laws
surrounding asset protection for sure.
You know, I live in New Hampshire. If something happens to you, you're lucky if you get a box of tools, you know, but, you know, it's true. And, but in the state of Texas, I tell people all you need is the Ken Lay protection. Now, I don't know if you remember this probably a little before you, but remember there's a company called Enron.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, you know how I know, I know about Enron is because when I actually was in college, I was actually going to be an accounting major and they were going through the Enron scandal. Like it had just happened. And so we were having to go through so much more like ethics and all this other stuff because of Enron.
Well, this is a true story. It's actually my first book and I'll say this is actually a true story. I love real stories, but there was a guy named McKen Lay. He was the CEO of Enron and the reason I bring this up was Enron was the largest corporate bankruptcy of all. And the thing is that all the people had all their money on the Enron stock in the 401k and all the institutional investors who owned, it was the seventh, I think it was like the seventh largest publicly traded company at the time. They got vaporized when they went into bankruptcy in 2001. But Ken Lay, who was the CEO of Enron, when he walked out the door of Enron, he had like a $12 million or $13 million that split all the life insurance on his life. And he had like $5 million in annuities. And this is a true story, Jack, okay? And then he died, I don't know, he was having an affair and he died of a heart attack in Colorado or something like that. This is a true story. And so when he died, he had $13 million in assets and $13 million in liabilities. So they wiped each other out. But because he was in the state of Texas, he had $13 million life insurance and $5 million annuities. The $18 million, because of the state of Texas, went to his wife, Linda Lay. It's a true story. And I'm sticking to it, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely some unique protections. And the state that you live in and understanding the state that you live in and how it works is super important as well. Because I'm a member of like a ton of different female groups that talk about money or moms groups. And some of them are Texas specific, like local. And then some of them are like all over the country or even all over the world. And it cracks me up when people are giving advice about certain things, about debt being charged off or divorce or any of this stuff. And I'm like, well, this is heavily dependent on the state that you're in.
Yeah,
it's heavily dependent on how the laws operate and how they work and the favorability versus the creditor versus the person. Like, you know, there's so many different aspects here that you can't give good advice understanding that.
Yeah. So, but you know, the same thing. And this is like O.J. Simpson when he went to Florida. That's why he retired in Florida because all of his pension income was exempt from the claims of creditors. So that's a true story. Yeah. So Texas is a really good state for asset protection. Florida, Arizona, New York. I live in New Hampshire. It's horrible. I mean, this is say you can't get a box of tools, but you know, it's just a, so there are some, you have to look at it state by state, but we help people with that stuff. But that's a true story. And yeah. So here's a guy who blew up a business. He died of a heart attack and his wife, she got $18 million.
Yeah.
And this is 25 years ago and that's a lot of money.
But a lot of this again has to do with understanding how to best protect your assets, how to create, you know, solutions surrounding what kind of ways of wealth that you want to step into that is aligned with you. I mean, there's so many different factors here. And I know for some people listening, as you're maybe making first steps into alignment, making first steps into intention, it feels really, really overwhelming. And I totally understand that. And I can completely appreciate that because even myself, who is in this space, who deals with money all the time, who sees, you know, so many different aspects of things, it does feel overwhelming. So just step back and take it one piece at a time. Yeah. Because the truth is if you're not taking small actionable steps forward, you're not taking any steps at all, and you're just going to end up wherever you end up. And I promise it's not going to be where you want to be, whatever that is, right? And so small intentional aligned steps are always going to be better. You don't have to have this all figured out. You don't have to understand every single way that arbitration works and the 401k piece and like all these different things, right? And so if you are, I mean, I had this conversation with one of my girls the other day. She was frustrated. She has a pretty good understanding of money. She even works in the money space and she was frustrated because she felt like she had made a few missteps. And I said, you know what? I said, you can't dwell on what has been. Right. Whether I said I've made plenty of missteps, right? Professionally, personally, with money, in other aspects of my life, like there's tons of different things that I have not done correctly. though that ship has sailed. All I can do is continue forward a small aligned steps and know that I will appreciate those steps even more, knowing that maybe I didn't always make the best steps previously, right? Like I will recognize them as momental steps forward, as opposed to just sitting in shame and guilt and frustration and all of the other things. Because part of the reason this show is called Financial Mastery Simplified is we are trying to bring awareness. We are trying to bring you to a point of intention, right? And what are the small aligned steps that I can take to move forward? So as we wrap up, if you have any very like small aligned steps you'd like to suggest to the audience, as well as I think you have an offer, I'll kind of let you wrap us up.
First of all, we have a free newsletter. You go to barryjamesdyke.com and you can just sign in. There's a little block and you just put your name in, your phone number and email. And if you have any questions, you can email, you know, or people can call me up. I mean, it's wild. I get calls and be happy to do that. And if we can be of service anyway. The books which I've written, this one, this retirement ruse, I explain how the crap that went on during the pandemic, how people lost all their money in SPACs and cryptocurrencies, which I still don't know what the story is that's going to be. This is the first book I wrote, which, believe it or not, it's called The Pirates of Manhattan, Jackson. This one still sells all. I've sold this in 23 countries, believe it or not, just the word of mouth. And then if people are in a 401k, by the way, I wrote this book called The Pirates of Manhattan 2, Highway to Serfdom. And I write about target date funds, which are the primary core investment of all 401ks. And I bet anyone at lunch on this, if they have a 401k, their investments are in here. And I explain how these things work. And these were actually part of the Pension Protection Act of 2006, but I write about that there. And then the big problem today is about retirement income, Jack. So this is a book I wrote in 2015, about a decade ago. And the foreword was done by a guy by the name of David M. Walker. He was the former Comptroller General of the United States. He's a good friend of mine. Dave, he was on the trustee of the PBGC, also a trustee for Social Security. He loves what I'm doing because people need to have retirement income. And so that's what this book coming up is really about, for the people who are approaching retirement, people between 55, 75, that type of thing. But so I have these books now. So I've done the research and I'm happy to help people out and spend $100 or whatever it is for all four of them. And they're going to get a $10,000 worth of education.
I love that. Well, and like I said, I just think that when people do take small line steps forward, right, whether that's purchasing your book and reading that, right, whether that's listening to podcasts, whatever that is, that means that you're stepping forward. That is going to be the biggest factor and the biggest key. If you are in the homeownership buying process or thinking about becoming kind of to that place, we actually offer something free of charge that helps you understand like where your credit's at, kind of where your money's at, like, you know, kind of give you some awareness there. So we will always make sure that we have that linked in the comments of the show notes as well. But thank you so much, Barry, for being a part of this episode. It has been fabulous kind of talking to you about money and understanding, you know, kind of some of the origins of things happening behind the scenes and just reminding people to, live life on their terms and live it in a way that makes the most sense for them. So hopefully this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified was helpful. And we look forward to seeing you again on next week's episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.
Thank you so much.